episode 270.
I'm able to bring in these guys with a good heart, good hands, and a good head on their shoulders. I honestly have three technicians that are really young, and I have the best team that I've ever had in the 20 plus years that I've been managing automotive shops.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Desert Storm Marine veteran and shop owner Leon Anderson has faced life's challenges that not many men or women have ever faced. He shares his story. Hey, welcome aftermarket professionals, Carm Capriato here, and thanks for helping spread the word on the Aftermarket's premier podcast to your industry peers. You're helping to bring the educational value of every episode to our beloved aftermarket. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and if you haven't signed up yet for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program, go to fmmotorparts.com. Hey, the podcast website is full of so many features that provides a great immersion into the educational culture of the aftermarket's premier podcast. Enjoy some time on the site. Use the search feature, the series filter, or the tag cloud. RemarkableResults.biz is the place. Or if it's easier to remember, RemarkableResultsRadio.com will get you there too. Are you social with the podcast? Well, find all links at RemarkableResults.biz/social and welcome new Facebook friends, Brian Pollock, Kip Noosh, and Dan Reichewand, and new LinkedIn connections, Pushpahes Jossi and Colt Delashmet. I hope I got your names right. Thanks for being here. Glad to have you working the program with me. Now meet Leon Anderson from Integrity Auto in South Beloit, Illinois. Leon spent some time after his Marine duty in Desert Storm working in a few dealerships. He rose through the ranks from the service side of the business to become a dealership general manager, and that's not so typical of a career path. Leon says he is constantly learning and found the education he got during his dealership days really helped him prepare for his own shop. His commitment to learning is reflected in his culture and how much training he provides his team. Leon's extended bio and the interview talking points along with his shop profile can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E270. Now, Leon has strong feelings about training that even if he loses a tech, he's proud of the training he provided that allowed his techs to move on in their career. Now, because of this training, he's got people in the ranks that can move up. He says he can only have so many A techs at a time. You're in for a very special interview from this perpetual student who has faced some of the toughest challenges anyone has ever had. He's very transparent with his personal tragedies, and it seems to be cathartic that he talks about it. We also talk catering to women, the big value of his business coach and 20 group, his National Wix Award, and how important goal posters are to him and his team. Don't miss one gem of wisdom and get yourself an idea or two. Now, meet Leon Anderson from Integrity Auto. Hey, it's really nice to be with Leon Anderson from Integrity Auto Care in South Beloit, Illinois.
Hello, Carm. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for your service with the Marine Corps and Desert Storm. Just great to be able to talk to a veteran who is now working in our beloved aftermarket.
Yes, it's been quite a ride, but I have made great friends and contacts along the way. It's been super.
Excellent. Good for you. So you come back from Desert Storm. What were you planning on doing?
I got out of the Marine Corps and I had two kids, and you have to, you know, when you're the father, it's ingrained in you. You got to find a job. And I was a little stressed out because it was the very first Bush recession, and there was pretty high unemployment at the time, and it was just hard to find a job. So the first job I had available was a technician job. And so I in the Marine Corps, I was supposed to be a mechanic, although I never really worked on vehicles too much. But every Marine is a basic rifleman. So they found other things. Either I was marching or working on computers or something crazy. But I got out, and it was a tough time to find a job. And the first job available was technician, and it kind of sucked me in, because sooner or later I found out I was pretty good at it. And then I started making good money. And then, you know, you try and go back to school or anything, but you know, you can make good enough money that you go to school and you make better money staying in the trades. So then you're like, well, do I finish and take a pay cut to go for another job or what? And so I ended up staying in it.
You stayed in it and you turned wrenches, but did you also, you told me, become a service manager?
Yeah. In the military, I had hurt my back. And so I had some issues with that. Once I started the whole mechanic thing and it takes a wear and tear on your body, I got to a point where, you know, I was kind of walking with a cane, and my service manager at the time said, hey, we can't do this anymore. We want you to do other things. We want you in the company, but we want you to do other things. So I started as a shop foreman, and I kind of quickly moved my way up. They found out I could do things. And before I knew it, you know, I was service manager, then parts and service director. And eventually I was a general manager for a Ford dealership, before I ended up opening my own store.
That's a big job. I mean, that's almost, you're on call, what, a dozen hours a day?
Yeah, it was pretty common to work 70 to 80 hours a week. We had long days, and it's kind of odd. Usually people in the dealerships that become general managers come from the sales side. I was an abnormality to come through service. There's not very many that do that.
So you worked at a VW dealership in between the Ford and starting your business?
Yeah, they were closing Ford stores down. I worked at a dealer development store, which is a minority-owned store. And because it's minority-owned, they go in there and they only have like 2% ownership, so it's really easy for Ford to close it down. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, I had an immense loyalty to all my people that worked for me, and I had tried to find them all jobs. But after they closed the store down, I was asked to stay there till the end. And then I took a job with a Volkswagen dealership. And the Volkswagen dealership was good for me. I did a lot of internet sales there. So I got a lot of experience doing internet. After about a year, I had been working on trying to open a store because I was trying to find jobs for some of the employees that, you know, didn't have it. And I ended up opening a store. We kind of went gangbusters, and then the recession hit, so we kind of drew back a little bit. But we were fortunate that we had a good plan, and things worked out really well. As far as you know, we designed the shop to go after women and baby boomers. We had super clean waiting lounge, really big waiting lounge that was separate from the write-up area, and really clean bathrooms.
Leon, let me stop you there for a minute and ask you, was this part your strategy for woman clean restrooms, attacking the baby boomer generation at that time, which was a, you know, perfect market segment? Was this something that you just had your own vision, you saw, and this is where you're trying to fill a market gap?
Well, I had done a lot of classes through Ford, and they were really pushing that the big segment, like 60% of the market was women, and then 80 to 85% of the market had a female that was involved in the purchase decision in automotive repair. So it was a huge market, and independents really weren't going after it at that time.
Yeah, okay.
I think since that's probably changed because people, you know, they realize where it's coming from. So we did actually go after that market because of probably Ford.
And you learned a lot having gone through the Ford program.
Yeah, we did a lot of training through Ford. We did something they called XL 2000. You know, I did a lot of training through Ford. Of course, going up through the ranks, you know, you're always getting more training. We won a lot of awards with Ford. We won a lot of quality awards and customer satisfaction awards. So Ford was at our store a lot because of it.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Do you actually put products in the hands of the technicians?
Yes, absolutely. Anytime there's new product introduced, perhaps a new problem solver or a new technology, we keep that stuff on the van just because their local parts supplier may not have it available. And we think it's important to show them what's coming and then seeing the part is really, especially with the new OEX, seeing the part and touching the part is something that changes perspective rather than just a piece of paper with a picture of the part.
Okay, so you put an OEX pad into the hand of a technician, and you've done this, I'm sure, hundreds of times. What do you see on their face when they see it?
You can tell they get it. You know, in our industry, there's technology that we use all the time that you look at and you're like, that just doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to take your word that it works. You put an OEX brake pad in somebody's hand, and I just ask the question, why does this look so weird? And they're like, I bet it's to make it cool. They get it as soon as you put it in their hand.
So technicians holding your product and listening to your presentation, do you ever see the light bulbs go up? They raise their hand and says, boy, I've got a great idea for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not only does that happen, every time I'm with a group of guys, I solicit ideas. I'm like, listen, a lot of the stuff that I've shared with you originated in a bay somewhere where the technician said, you know what, if you could do this, it would be really cool. And so the stuff that I get, I send up, you know, to our engineering team and say, hey, could we do something like this? And there's things in the works, and there's some things that came out recently that originated in, hey, if you could do this, it would be helpful. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think Federal Mogul is known in every line to be a problem solver, and not just solving a problem, but making an installation easier as well.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. So you open your place, rocking and rolling, and what happens next?
Everything was going pretty well. We had hit a recession in mid-2008 that kind of like set us back on our heels a little bit, but we were able to keep going. We had a good game plan. I went about a year, and I was going through a divorce, which was really hard and stressful. And about halfway through my divorce, I had tragedy strike into my life, and I lost a son to suicide. He was a great guy, probably my best friend at the time, you know, and just to lose someone so close, it really destroyed me and everyone around you, you know. He worked at the shop a lot, so everybody knew him. He was very charismatic and just a super guy. To see that happen, you know, and then the expense of it all, not only the expense of it, but the fact that you shut down and you can't lead anymore. And then your employees are affected by it, because not only do they lose their leader, but they're also going through that depression because they know him. And so it made it very hard to keep going. The bills kept coming in, but,
what did you do to cope? Did you get help?
I went through this class, like a boot camp for management success. And I met a gentleman who gave the class, which is kind of funny, because as we gain success, you know, he was an inspiration to me. I was like, wow, I want to be like that guy. And as we gain success, one of the awards we won was actually an award that he won. So it was like kind of full circle. We won this Wix Babcock's Service Excellence Award for it was like one shop in the nation they pick. And we won it last year, which is great, because, you know, when I'm going through this hardship, this guy was the guy that kind of like pulled me out and I was inspired enough to say, hey, I got to do this. So we took a few classes and started things turning around.
So you really got help from your peers, the team at the shop. Tell me how they coped and helped you deal with this.
You know, they put me a little bit back on track, and I started gaining things. I went through some classes, and I think going through the classes helped me enough to get me back on track. I kind of made a decision. I have to do this for my employees. I have to do this for my children. And then, so we went about a year, and we were really doing pretty good. We were coming back and fighting it. And I had actually lost another son. I had four kids. I lost another son. I think related to this, it was also suicide. And I had always thought of myself as a good father, you know, and you lose everything. I mean, when you lose a child, there's nothing like it. I can't believe that I still have a business today because, I mean, I totally hit rock bottom. There was, you know, at that time I felt like nothing left, and you struggle through those times. And fortunately I met a very wonderful woman, that helped me through. And then my children helped me through, and I tried to stay strong for everybody. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And so I went to another class and I found ATI, and they, helped me with a lot of training. And, one of the things I took from the dealership, you know, I was pretty good because I'd been in so many different jobs in the dealership. I had done almost every job at the dealership. So I learned a lot of the back end. I learned a lot of the front end. But the dealership is still different than the aftermarket repair by quite a bit. So when I went to these training schools, I learned what I need to do different to tweak my business so that it becomes more profitable. One of the things I did was I really heavily invested in training. So I started sending my service advisors to training. And then eventually I started training my technicians more and more, to where we got to the point where training was kind of our culture, and we train pretty much weekly. Once in a while, we'll miss it. Like if they got games or something that they got to make for kids, we'll put it off for a week. But pretty much every week we will either do 2 hours after work or an hour at lunch, and the training gave everybody confidence. So I have training for service advisors. I send them out and they get sales training and they get product training. They get training how to deal with people. They get personality training. And then I start that with the technicians also. You know, it might be a class on the alignment machine, or it might be a class on how to use a tire machine, or it might be a class on how to use a scope or how to diagnose a Volkswagen versus a Honda or something. But it's always consistently constant training. I believe in training enough. I train every day. I mean, I try to learn every day. I do some of your podcasts. I do, there's tons of training out there if you look for it.
Leon, was your immersion for yourself and your team into training a coping mechanism for you that ultimately paid off?
It was a bit. I think originally it started was I seen that we really needed training in my service advisors, and the service advisors are everything. I try to pick service advisors that have great personalities. Personalities in a service writer is everything. So when a customer comes through the door, the first thing we do is try like a loud smile and a big handshake. And people warm up so much to a simple handshake. And then once we got the service advisors where they're working really well, then we found that, well, we need to work on the technicians because we were having issues, to develop consistency, like simple things like a multi-point inspection. If I don't train them a lot on a multi-point inspection, then everybody has a little bit different sight of what they see. Mm-hmm. So you might have one technician come in and everything's wrong on the suspension. And then you have another technician come in and all he sees is the oil leaks. You have another technician come in and, you know, all they see is needs an induction system cleaning, or it needs this, or, you know, and it's really tailored to what that technician is confident in. So by the training, the first thing we did was we want to get these guys trained on this multi-point inspection. So every time we do a multi-point inspection, it's exactly the same no matter who touches it.
You're speaking processes and systems win wars. I mean, didn't the military teach you that?
Exactly. And we're really big on processes. We write a lot of processes and we train on processes. When we get a new employee come in, it's great because we can give them processes. And the biggest thing we do is that multi-point inspection. I mean, that's where it makes it so much easier. We started doing so much more maintenance and shocks and struts because we're all aligned now. I got my technicians aligned with the service advisors so that everybody is on the same page and they know exactly what is good or what is bad, when to sell it, when not to sell it. So that, you know, like if a customer walks in and they get one explanation from a service advisor, and then they happen to talk to the technician and they get another explanation, it comes off to the customer as you're lying. When it's not lying, it's, you know, you have two different views. So what I had to do is I said, we need to align our views of what we see. So every time we see something, it's the exact same verbiage so that there's no difference between service advisors and there's no difference between technician and service advisor.
Are you using a digital vehicle inspection software?
We do.
Okay.
We use Bolt-On.
Okay.
And we've catered our inspection because in the beginning it took so long. So now we have this inspection where every time it's exactly the same route and we bring it in. So the first thing we do is test drive every vehicle. And on that test drive, they're looking for check engine lights, they're looking for vibrations, noises, drivability type things. Does it bounce? Any noises? So then we bring it in and we fill out that part of the inspection first. Then they check, get out and they check all the lights. We get a mirror in the shop so they can look back and see the back lights and the front lights. And then they go out, pop the hood. You know, they pull a dipstick, all the fluids, check all that under the hood. They go to the right front wheel, then the left rear wheel, right front wheel.
So yeah. You develop the systems in the process to make it all work so it's consistent.
Yes.
And you almost can't do a DVI, electronic DVI, without at least setting that stuff up. And
right.
Everybody tells me that their ARO went up because of it. Did that happen to you?
Oh, it's not only did the ARO go up, but the sales process was so much easier because you can give them pictures. We're looking at the exact same thing every time so that the speed gets better. We got it down to like less than 10 minutes now for an inspection and they're getting pictures. Yeah. So if you send a customer a picture's worth 1,000 words, sure. Hey, this is broken or this is falling apart or this is leaking. It's much easier to sell. And a lot of times they're calling us, asking us how much it is before we can even get the estimate done.
Oh, that's the beauty of that DVI. Hey,
yes.
You mentioned training a little bit ago, and you mentioned lunch and learns. And you sent me a number. The average number of training hours per year for your technicians was 400. And I almost fell over when I read that. And then 200 for a service advisor. And then you said that 70% of it all is, as you said, lunch and learn. Where are you getting your content?
Well, every day my email gets loaded with new stuff from MotorAge there's always new stuff.
So you're finding these links and are you looking at them first before you give them to your guys? Or are you just sitting down and saying, hey, let's do this?
No, I look at them. I weed them out.
Okay.
Sometimes you can watch something and it doesn't really mean anything, or something, maybe you watch it and you've already seen this. So what we try to do is every time we have a class, we pick exactly what we want to talk about. And then we'll pick out of that what we want to talk about. We break it down into a subsystem of what, we're actually going to take a class on.
The thing I love about you, you said, listen, I don't care if I train and they leave. And that seems to me, in a great leadership role, is that you will benefit more by having them trained and work for you
and yes.
than if you don't train them and they stay.
I tell you, it makes lifelong friends, because if you train someone enough to where they can go and get premium dollars somewhere else, because I can only afford so many ATECs. And I tell my employees right at the beginning, I want you to move on. If I do everything right, then, in a few years, you should be able to move up and go somewhere, because you're going to have an education. You're going to know how to do things. You're going to know how to put a car in a scope. You're going to know how to do everything from an oil change and a proper inspection to rebuilding or advanced drivability. And that's what we want is I train my service advisors to replace me so that I don't have to be here. I train my technicians to replace the shop foreman so that he doesn't have to be there.
Well, you're the CEO of the business. That's exactly what you should be doing.
Exactly.
You probably learned that in the early days working for Ford and, you know, going through their training to realize that you're not the chief cook and bottle washer.
Yeah. Well, you know, you try always to be better, and to be better, you have to have better employees. And if you don't train people, they stagnate. And especially in this day and age where everything is changing so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, things are coming out every day that's new, and you have to learn a new system. We work on all makes, all models. So every day my technicians are learning, even if they're not in school, because I mean, the amount you have to read as a technician now is insane. Just to bring in a new car, and diagnose it. You know, one minute you're working on a Ford, the next minute you're working on a Mini Cooper, the next minute you're working on a Mercedes or a Honda or a BMW. It's so much to learn that these guys have to be good readers. And the great thing about training, having a good training program is I've been able to bring in guys that have a really good heart and they have great hands, but maybe due to something in their life, they didn't get to school or maybe they got to school, but I'm able to bring in these guys with a good heart, good hands, and a good head on their shoulders. And I honestly have, I got three technicians that are really young, and I have the best team that I've ever had in the 20 plus years that I've been managing automotive shops.
Good hands and a good heart, and you can train them to do the rest.
Yes, it's perfect.
Powerful.
I love it.
So tell me how the Wix Babcock's Award came up. Did you apply for that, or did it just all of a sudden fall from the sky?
I have a coach, and she says, apply for everything.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did apply for it. And
that would be Kim Hickey, right?
Yes, all Kim right. Hickey. She's great.
From ATI, okay.
She says, yeah, apply. And we applied, and I was really surprised that we won because I live – in South Beloit, Illinois, where, you know, it's Illinois is having its troubles right now. And in Illinois, this is one of the worst areas in Illinois. So we're just north of Rockford, and it's really a recessed area. And Kim Hickey and I always kind of argued in the beginning, you just don't understand. Things are tough here. And
and she was unwilling to accept that as an excuse.
She didn't accept it. And thank God she didn't, because it worked out great. You know, I don't advertise to people that obviously can't afford it. I advertise to people that can, and we push, you know, finding those customers. Like I said, we advertise a lot to women and we advertise to baby boomers, but we take all customers and, we try to hit, you know, whatever demographics we feel that will help our business continue to grow. And last year we were up 30%, and this year, we're not up quite 30%. We're up about 13%.
How many multiple years at 30% can you have?
Yeah, I can have lots of those. So I love 30%.
What a great attitude. What a great attitude. What was your award from Wix? Did you get a plaque? Did you go to a conference somewhere?
Yeah, they awarded us a trip to Las Vegas. So we went to the SEMA show on Wix Babcock's. And then the first night we got there, they had an awards party where we got this big trophy. I kid and I say, I'm going to fill it full of champagne and drink it. But and we did some videos for the shop out there. And it was awesome. We had a great time. You know, we got featured in, I want to say, 7 or 8 magazines.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Yeah, you had that 15 minutes and maybe that half hour, 30 minutes of fame.
Yes.
Good for you. Actually, I know how that feels.
The funny thing is we I really believe in goal posters. So I make all my employees do goal posters and they hang them on the wall.
All right.
Next to my goal poster, I had put up these pictures in the magazine of a beautiful shop. And it dawned on me afterwards that my mind must have associated that I wanted to be in the magazine with that goal next to my goal poster. So I think that's what happened.
Isn't it amazing how the mind works?
The goal posters are great. I'm telling you, you got to get your employees on goal posters because it makes all the difference.
Okay, so let's cover that. Somebody's listening right now and they say, what's a goal poster?
So my son went to class, and he works for me as a service manager. He's the best service manager I've ever had, because he's been working for me for about 5 or 6 years now, and he does super. So when he first started, he was about 315 pounds. He doesn't like me telling that, but it's a true testament to who he is. So the first thing, he comes back from class and he says, "Hey, they made me make this goal poster." So on his goal poster, the first thing he wants to do is lose weight. Literally, he's lost like 180, 190 pounds.
Good for him.
So he's amazing. On his goal poster, he wanted to run a half marathon. So he ran a half marathon. On his goal poster, he wanted to buy a new house. So he's bought a new house. You know, everything he puts on his goal poster, he gets.
But the key here, Leon, is it's got to be written.
Yes. And I think pictures help. So he writes it on there, and he puts a picture on there, and he looks at it every day. And we put our goal posters up where he can see them every
so
day.
So everyone sees it. So it's not a personal thing. So if you don't hit it, no one knows. Basically, you're basically coming – you're going public.
Exactly. And I look at the employee goals, and I like to try and help them. So like you know, employee might have on their motorcycle. So whatever I can do to help that employee get that motorcycle, I like to make those goals come true for our employees.
That is so cool. We've heard that before on the podcast. And if it wasn't someone telling us a story about goal posters, they were just saying, sit down and listen to your people and just don't sit and do a performance review. Just sit and listen to them. You'll discover things that they have going on in their world and the things that they want to accomplish.
Exactly.
Exactly what the goal posters do.
They're wonderful.
Would you be as successful today if you didn't have a business coach and weren't doing goal posting?
No. No, the business coach has been great for me because of all the depression that I went through, all the down times I've had. I need my wife, who has been lovely. She's my at-home coach that kicks me. And then Kim Hickey kicks me at work. And,
well, we all need that. We all need that home kick.
Right. I've been very lucky.
Is she doing nice?
She's wonderful. She's wonderful.
So your new wife, you know, with all the tragedy that you were so kind to share, what are the big changes in your life you could look back on and say, I'm different because of this?
So many things. I mean, when you lose a child, you have so much guilt. You know, I didn't do anything, but you think, oh, if I'd done this different, if I'd done that different. And I live with that every day, you know. And so when I look at things, when I do things, I always try to think about how it affects other people. So one of the things we do is we help out homeless people quite a bit. I try to help out young kids who, I say kids, but, you know, they're in their 20s. I try to help out young kids that are struggling in life, trying to find a way. I feel really bad for kids these days. When I was young and got out of high school, you could go to the local factory and get a $20 an hour job. And, you know, kids get out of school and they don't have that anymore. There's no, you know, quick fix. They can't go to somewhere and work for 30 years and then retire. There's no retirements anymore unless you get like a government job or something. You know, we struggle trying to find kids that know anything about automotive. But when we find someone, we really try to push them up. We try to get them into school. We do training. We invite them to the classes that we have here with our technicians. So sometimes we get those guys come in.
Did you ever bring one on as an apprentice?
I've had lots of apprentices over the years. It all started when I was at the Ford store. When I was a technician, I actually had my first apprentice. It was a brand new program, and the local high school was starting this brand new program where they wanted to put apprentices out. And I was one of the first success stories. So, it actually worked really well, and I've believed in it. I haven't done an apprentice for the last couple of years, but we're looking at doing one right now. I actually serve on the local high school board for the apprenticeship program. And I also serve on the local community college for automotive.
Good for you. And I'm on our local college too, and just got on after being off for a bunch of years. Technician shortage, does it really exist? Is it a real
thing? Huge.
It is huge. Huh?
It's so hard to find technicians. And that's one of the best things about this training program. that we do. I take guys that you wouldn't normally hire as a technician, and we train them, you know, and they have so much loyalty
But you're overcoming it.
Yeah.
You're overcoming it through an aggressive training program, and you accept the fact that you may lose them to another shop.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you lose an A-tech, that's a really big hit. But you have to be ready for that. And the way you are ready for it is you're always training everybody. You know, I lost two really good B-techs last year, and I was able to bring some people on, and we're actually better now than we were then. So,
But why did you lose them?
Because they got to a point where they could go somewhere else and get a job and make more than I could afford to pay. Right.
So they were really on track to be an A. You couldn't bring them on at that pay rate.
Right.
Got it.
But the best thing is, like, so when I bring on a younger person, because they don't have to have so much experience as what I was looking for, prior, I'm able to really go through and look at those kids and say, hey, this guy's got the qualities I want. This guy, you know, we do a personality test on him. We do, tests on what they're able to know and do. So when we pick a new guy now, it's more in what I want than the experience they have, which is a great thing, because right now I got like the most cohesive staff. They go out and they're having fun, and you know, it makes work so much better when you don't have a lot of drama.
Would you share any great advice you've ever gotten?
Oh, my father always says, you can do anything except you can't get away from dying and paying taxes.
Oh, wow.
And when you get successful, they tell me at ATI, you got to pay taxes. So.
Are you paying taxes?
I'm saving money so I can. Right? I keep hoping someone's going to cut the taxes. I don't know. But
well,
it's tough.
Actually, it's all over the TV today.
Yeah,
it's all right. Over. Where are you getting your big ideas?
I got a great group. My 20 group is super. I mean, we got some really big hitters. The one guy, Clint Dudley, owns Shade Tree in Grimes.
Sure do know Clint.
Oh man, he's great. He just won an international award.
Yeah. Let me tell you the story about Clint. He was one of the earliest adopters of the show back about 30 months ago, and just recently I did an update. He built a 13,000 square foot facility. Yeah. And so we talked about that. So I encourage anyone, go to the website, remarkableresults.biz, type in Clint Dudley, and listen to the early one. Maybe it was episode 2 or 5, or I can't remember. And boy, and we just recently did one. Any guilty pleasures?
Chocolate.
An unexpected answer.
Yes. I try to diet all the time, you know, because I try to live healthy and eat very well. And once in a while, you got to give in.
Were you good in school?
Yeah, I was good in school. I dropped out of college because I didn't think it was right at the time, and joined the Marine Corps. But I always had good grades, and I was really good in school. It's a shame that I didn't stay with it now looking back. But what are you going to do?
If I looked at your to-do list, what would be on top?
Well, let's see. I have personal stuff that I've been struggling to get done. We're trying to hit 1.2 million this year. And we've been working on Zoom meetings to get really good shop owners together. And we do that. We try to do it once a month.
Is that your 20 group?
It's a 20 group. And then we do a super conference, and I met some super, like, crazy good shop owners, and we got them all together and we do a Zoom meeting. We try to do that once every month or once every 2 months, and those guys are just unbelievable, super super great guys. Brian Jewett and Neil Daly and Darren Garlock, I mean, they're in there, just super guys.
Very familiar names to me.
Yes.
What a great group. Anything wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning from a dead sleep?
Yes. I have ghosts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Those are stories, but.
All right, we'll do that another time.
Yeah.
So here's a Tim Ferriss question. If you had a chance to put up a billboard in town, what would it say?
Love one another. I think the nation's really divided right now, and I really would like to see, you know, the nation put down some of the hate they have and pull together. It's not the same place I grew up in, that's for sure.
Me too. I echo that. Wow, profound words. Thanks. What did I fail to ask you that you want to talk about?
I'm working on my exit strategy.
Wow, that's an important thing. Succession planning, yeah. Man. I'll tell you, so key. No matter what your age is, it seems to me that you know, if you can identify someone inside and build a plan around that, that person's is it your son?
It is. You know, we have a lot of family. My daughter worked for me for a long time, and she's going back to college, so she wants to do some other things. My son works for me as a service manager. He's super. We just hired my sister-in-law, who's great with people, and we've put her as a customer satisfaction manager.
Liaison type person?
Yes. And then my wife works as a service office manager. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of family. I think family is good, especially when you go through as much loss. I try to keep, you know, everybody as close to me as I can. We try to keep in touch all the time. And family is hugely important to me. I never want to have another loss. You know, it's hard.
Any wise words to live by?
I try to self-educate. I get more and more education as I go along every day. I read books. I tried to get rid of bad habits. So one of my bad habits was listening to the news all the time. So I replaced the news with podcasts and books. I do, because of my advanced stature in the company, I do customer shuttles.
So that is just great. Yes, you're the CEO and the shuttle driver.
I've worked myself out of a job, so now they do have me do shuttle driving. So I'm pretty secure in my job until I can't drive anymore.
I love it.
But it puts a lot of time out there when you can listen to books or something.
Yep,
and I'm always trying to self-educate.
Good for you. Great wisdom. Thank you. Leon, thank you for being so transparent and so sharing with us. Looks like there's nothing but blue skies ahead for you.
I hope so. If I have nothing more than just to work with my family and friends, that's really all that matters. It's a blessing that I've had this much time. And if I pass tomorrow, I'm a happy man.
Thank you, Leon Anderson, Integrity Auto, South Beloit, Illinois. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks, Leon Anderson, for being so open with your deepest thoughts on overcoming your tragedies. You are facing your business head on and having successes in all areas. See Leon Anderson's show notes with his bio and talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E270. Hey, listening on the Remarkable Results Radio app? If not, go to your app store and search for Remarkable Results Radio, or head over to remarkableresults.biz/app and you can download there. Hey, listen hard. Talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.